This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Virus deaths could double by December.
We have to make changes, and these changes will save lives.
Stalemate over federal aid.
$3.53 in my bank.
Push to restore power.
Every day this is going to get more severe.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. U.S. coronavirus deaths now top 160,000, and a new model favored by the White House predicts that toll could hit nearly 300,000 by December. But it says widespread mask wearing could save tens of thousands of Americans. CBS News national correspondent David Begnaud.
White House Coronavirus Task Force Coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx flagged 9 U.S. cities as areas of concern for the White House due to high or increasing test positivity rates. The White House is also monitoring California's Central Valley. Hospitalizations and ICU rates in that region are outpacing the rest of the state. Professor Edward Flores of the University of California, Merced, says the people living there are some of the most vulnerable.
Whether it's in agriculture or food packing or transportation or healthcare, one out of every three workers here is an essential worker.
Now to Washington, where there is an impasse after a meeting to try to work out differences on a new federal relief package. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
We're very far apart. It's most unfortunate.
It's a political struggle as each side accuses the other of refusing to budge. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin.
If we conclude that there's not a compromised position on the major issues, the president has alternatives and executive orders.
CBS's Mark Strassman has more on how some people are finding it hard to survive in a battered economy.
I'm lost and I'm scared.
Gwen Jeter supervised an Atlanta bakery's kitchen. She was furloughed in mid-March. In late May, all her unemployment benefits abruptly stopped. No explanation. She and her two sons have gone 10 weeks with zero income.
What's the scariest part?
Being homeless. I've been there with my three children before, you know, sleeping in our car. I don't want to do that again.
For more than 25 million jobless Americans, Washington's extra $600 a week was a financial lifeline. Without it, Sandy Viarto, a furloughed housekeeper, grows desperate.
Sometimes I can't even go to sleep at night thinking, like, what am I going to do tomorrow or what am I going to do next week?
The U.S. has lifted its global do not travel warning imposed back in March when the pandemic began to intensify. CBS's Christina Ruffini.
Now the State Department says it will give countries a rating 1 to 4 depending on specific conditions in that place in order to give Americans more information if they choose to travel.
What a day it was for the governor of Ohio who announced he had tested positive for the coronavirus.
I mean, I had no symptoms, no reason to think I had COVID-19.
But then Republican Mike DeWine tested negative later in the day. His wife and staffers in his office tested negative too. DeWine's first result was from a less accurate rapid test. Because of all that, DeWine never got to meet with President Trump, who was in Ohio to promote economic recovery, but he swerved away to attack Joe Biden and his faith.
No religion, no anything. Hurt the Bible, hurt God. He's against God.
Biden called the sideswipe on his faith shameful. The presumptive Democratic nominee apologized yesterday for what he said about African Americans at a virtual conference this week.
Unlike the African American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community.
Biden tweeted he did not mean to suggest the black community was a monolith. President Trump called the Biden comment an insult. CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb is in Beirut with more on the aftermath of this week's deadly and destructive downtown explosion.
The still smoldering bomb site has become something of a morbid meeting point for those devastated by the blast. Like Tatiana Hasruti, whose father worked at the port. She hasn't seen him since the explosion, but is convinced he's still alive.
I think he's there, but I think if we continue to work slowly, time will run out.
It'll be a weekend in the dark for millions of people in the Northeast as power crews struggle to get the electricity on after this week's tropical storm. WTIC Radio's Dave Mager says it's a bad scene in Connecticut.
Hundreds of thousands sweating it out in the dark.
This was a brutal storm that hit us.
Governor Ned Lamont asking the National Guard to clear tons of trees and limbs.
Primarily, we've got roads we got to clear.
Just last week, the state's primary electric utility was hearing about a rate hike. Now the governor piling on.
I think that Eversource didn't plan for the worst. I don't think they had the people staged in place ready to go.
The National Rifle Association tweets, from our cold, dead hands, as it vows to fight a new lawsuit from New York's attorney general. CBS's Jeff Pagaz says there are allegations against NRA leaders, including longtime figurehead Wayne LaPierre.
Court documents outline his lavish spending, a family stay at a luxury private hotel at a cost of more than $37,000.
The NRA is registered as a nonprofit group in New York. The video app TikTok is threatening to take legal action against President Trump's executive order banning anyone under U.S. jurisdiction from doing business with the company's owner. The order also includes WeChat. China's foreign ministry also blasted the Trump move, saying the U.S. is using national security as an excuse to go after non-American businesses. Now to Portland, Oregon. Police declaring an unlawful assembly outside a precinct, forcing protesters out. It came hours after the mayor accused protesters of, quote, attempting to commit murder by planning to attack more public buildings. Well, U.S. agents call it the most sophisticated tunnel in border history used by smugglers. It stretches from San Luis, Arizona to a Mexican town. Has a ventilation system, water lines, wiring, and a rail system. It was found late last month. The list is out from the National Football League. CBS's Steve Futterman has more on the players who will sit out the upcoming season because of the coronavirus.
Of the 66 who have opted out, 31 are those who play in the so-called trenches, offensive and defensive linemen. There are 11 wide receivers, 4 running backs, but no quarterbacks.
The pandemic will change tradition when New York City marks the 9/11 attacks next month.
Leaders of the Tunnel to Towers Foundation say they will hold an alternative ceremony on 9/11 because the National September 11th Memorial Museum announced that family members won't be reading the names of the nearly 3,000 victims at the official ceremony this year because of the coronavirus pandemic. Frank Siller created the Tunnel to Towers Foundation to honor the memory of his firefighter brother Stephen Siller. He says the reading of names is something that needs to be done, pandemic or no pandemic. Bill Rakoff, CBS News.
After some time off, both Stephen Colbert and James Corden will tape their CBS late night shows at their studios next week, but without an audience. They had been working from home. And that's the CBS World News Roundup for Friday. The broadcast produced this week by Matt Cherry. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.
The Hargan women seem to have it all.
From the outside looking in, we were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But as detectives would soon learn, there was a lot going on inside the Hargan household.
Ashley and I have been calling my mom and the house and Helen. Okay. No one's answering.
63-year-old Pamela Hargan gunned down in her own home. Her youngest daughter, Helen, lay dead upstairs.
Patrol, when they arrived, assumed or thought that there might have been a murder-suicide.
But for the detectives on the scene...
There were things about the scene itself that were concerning to us on day one.
Who would want to kill their mother and their little sister?
There is no boogeyman here. It is exactly who we think it is.
I'm Peter Van Sant from 48 Hours. This is Blood is Thicker, the Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on the 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.
It was the biggest scandal in pop music. The stars of Milli Vanilli, the Grammy-winning multi-platinum R&B phenomenon, were exposed as frauds. But none of this was their idea. So whose idea was it? Enter German music producer Frank Farian. He saw the success of acts like Michael Jackson and Prince, and he wanted in, no matter the cost. So he devised the perfect pop heist. Two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? They couldn't sing. But Frank knew just how to fix that. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies and takes a never-before-heard look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when the truth came out, Rob and Fab were the only ones who got burned. Looking back now, it's hard not to wonder, why did everyone blame them and not the man pulling the strings? Follow Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.